Blog Talk Radio.
This is world champion D.E. Chambers, president of the Amateur Organization of Karate and multi-Greek Award winner. I would like to welcome you to Professor Gary Lee's Katsunon Radio Talk Show, featuring news, special announcements, special one-on-one interviews with stars of sport karate. Thank you for listening. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Boo! Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. I would like to welcome everybody to Parts Unknown with your host. My name is Professor Gary Lee. And before we introduce our special guest tonight and the adventures of having a Halloween show, I get to introduce the producer of our show. The man has put us on the air for almost 10 years. Over 800 interviews with stars and movers and shakers of the martial art community supporting the Sport Karate Museum. My producer, Honky Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Well, happy Halloween, sir. Have you got lots
of
candy?
Well, sir, happy Halloween. No. I tried to stay out while the Halloweeners went through, and I let them pass this year.
Well, I've got to ask you, have you got offers? But speaking of offers, tomorrow we're going to have a special Zoom meeting. Well, I'll let you talk about it. What's going to be happening tomorrow about the offers of the books and the Elite Publication, your company, and I'm excited about talking about tomorrow, of course. So go ahead. Tell everybody what's going on tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Well, great, sir. Well, I appreciate you. Yeah, tomorrow is National Authors Day. And we have 30, 40 or more authors that we're going to be having on through the month of November. And so tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time, you can go to the Elite Publications website, their Facebook page. That's where it's going to broadcast, and we posted at several places that it's going to be broadcasted to our Facebook page. And you know, really would love for people to tune in. It's going to be great. Keith Yates is going to be with us on the program. Maggie Messina is going to be on there, and we're going to be talking about you've got several books out. Of course, Grandmaster Keith Yates does, Maggie, and just a few of the people that we're interviewing, talking about really everybody's got a story. And right now is one of the best times for anyone that wants to be an author. This is one of the best times to do so. You know, every time you turn on the news, every expert up there has a book. And that's what being an author does. It makes you an expert, should make you an expert anyway, because you have written and documented that. You know, with the Sport Karate Museum, sir, I really do love everything that you do, really support it because I believe in it because, you are the treasure that's trying to continue to promote sport karate. And then if we stop promoting sport karate and the past history of it. You know, a lot of people just like just wash away history of anything and everything. You know, but the people that have been around, that's built sport karate, been in sport karate, this is the reason why, the martial arts is as large as it is because of the sport. So having an offer to everyone on tomorrow is going to be very, very exciting.
Well, I treasure your vision, what you've done with the books, what you've done with your events, Were you done in Vegas? Were you done in Army Bill and Cynthia and Michael J. White, Chuck, and everybody? I mean, Mastery, going back to Mastery. God bless you, Jesse Bourne. You've got a vision, and I'm proud that the Sport Content Museum is part of the journey of Elite Publication. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute. You create an avenue for people that have got a story to be able to tell their story through a book. Tell again people how they get in touch with you. If they do have a story, if they want to get involved with maybe writing a book, how will they get in touch with you?
Well, it's really simple. That's the name. That's the website. It's elitepublications.org. You can go to the website, and that's www.elitepublications, with an S on the end, .org, and contact us. And, you know, we have, my partner and I, we have helped over 400 authors become Amazon international best-selling authors. So what we've been able to master over the past few months, well, over the past couple of years, is that ability to be able to market and help people sell their books, that people can now read their books. That's why you write a book, is to be able to do that. So you can go to Elite Publications, and we will sit down and chat with you about your project. There is no charge. We want you to, you know, you can be one of our co-authors. If you don't want to write your whole book, we can help you co-author the book by winning one of our compilation books. If you say, well, I want a book, but I don't really want to write it, can you write it for me? We have ghost writers that can write for you. If it's done in the publishing business, we're now actually doing it, building websites. We get ready to start building apps. So whatever you're looking for, if it's dealing with marketing, publishing, you know, we want to help the martial arts community get the word out so they'll know what we feel, that the martial arts is one of the most powerful things that a person can be introduced to.
Well, I can't go away without asking about the metaverse, what you've done with the, you know, with your vision of the virtual museum of the books. Tell me what's that about and how people would go there to see that. That's pretty cool what you've done with that.
Well, you know, it really is. I mean, the technology that you guys are doing with your project and our project that we're doing, they're totally similar but different in that now, you know, you can – hold on 1 second. My computer. So you can actually go to our webpage. You can go to the Who's Who in the Martial Arts webpage, enter the metaverse from there. You can walk around the museum. You can click on the portraits. You can go to the biography pages there. You can, you know, look. Several of our books are live there that you can click on it and actually go through the pages of the book. So that's just another add-on to what we're doing in trying to archive the stories of the martial arts. So the museum is a very powerful tool. And since it's in the metaverse with the VR glasses, then you can actually put the glasses on. You can walk down the hallways of the museum. And, you know, this is very powerful technology and trying to integrate martial arts into the metaverse, the VR glasses, or just the interaction from your cell phone or your computer. And actually our lower level is just about full, and so we get ready to eliminate the lower level. Then there's other levels that you can go to read the biographies and learn more about. And guess what? It's absolutely free for you to actually to sort of the museum. There's no charge to enter the museum and to be able to explore. We're going to have seminars going on there next year, so you'll do our podcast will be directly from within the museum. So that's going to be really exciting.
Cool. Well, listen, you stay busy, and that's an understatement, and I'll talk to you real soon, aren't you, boy? Thank you for everything. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for everything that you're doing. It's really we're proud to be sponsors know, for the museum and your podcast and anything that we can support you with, just let us know.
Well, protecting the history, one warrior at a time, Archibald, and that's your one of them. So God bless you being a history general, and we'll talk to you real soon, I promise. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Haunty Jesse Bowen, the producer of the Parts Unknown live radio. Now, what's really cool is that every week we get to talk to a lot of people. I bring on a special guest. And this man has been with the Sport Country Museum and my personal black belt for over 40 years. He plays drums, a professional drummer in a band. He also is an amazing, amazing uki. And if you don't know what the word uki means, it means assistant. He is probably cut. Well, not cut. I do the cutting. He's probably laid down and let me cut bananas and cucumbers all over his body more than anybody that I've ever used. And I want to bring up my friend, Doug Dorman. Are you there, sir, Doug?
Yeah, thank you, Sensei. You're amazing. You're amazing.
No. I'm just lucky I didn't cut your throat or your groin or your stomach by laying those cucumbers on your stomach. But anyway, Doug, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'll tell you, sir, you're amazing. The times that, like, we've gone to Dallas and competed in Dallas, and I will say you scared me a few times.
Well, I didn't mean to scare you, but Let's go back to Dave Cobar, who was a black belt under Joe Lewis, and you started with him, and you came to me in the early 90s, wasn't it? The early 90s.
Garrett was just barely walking across the floor. He wasn't even able to walk. He was still crawling.
You talking about my side, yeah. Well,
yes.
Tell my listeners what it was like in those early days of the dojo.
My original instructor, he was really under Walt Bone, but you had way different teaching techniques than he did. And I bless you for
Walt Bone. I thought you were under Joe Lewis.
Actually, my instructor was one of Walt Bone's instructors, and then the Florida boys from St. Petersburg, that's where he was from. And so Joe Lewis would pop in and mess around with Walt Bone, and so then he got to know Joe Lewis, and they became, I guess you could say, friends and drinking buddies. You were just such a different instructor. You were so intense. I appreciated the knowledge that you gave me. And then, of course, back then it was a 10-foot squared circle. And we didn't have a whole lot of room in that first dojo, sir.
Yeah.
So there was quite a few times where a sidekick would plum puts you out of the ring, not like today where it's 20 by 20, understandable. But
right.
So those were the rock and roll days. I'll admit, man, you've given me some good punishment. You've bloodied my nose more than once, I'll tell you. God love you.
Well, let me ask you a question. What was the most intense moment you remember that we do it through? And I'm talking about a show or a demonstration or a fight.
Most intense. Belt test. Boy, you put on a hard belt test. Your belt tests were a little bit extreme, more so traditional, hardcore. So the gentleman that I was under, Mr. Cogar, Sensei Cogar, he was He was all about the squared circle. And so what I really learned from him is, you know, that all the techniques of just doing that of kicking, you know, and the hardcore punching, you know, unlike Taekwondo. I mean, I love the sport, but it was just much more, how would you say, it was just you had to be tough to hang out with you gentlemen. I'll tell you one of the I didn't believe it, but anyway, I was like, what is he making us do this? But you would make us go out in front and our bare feet would be running in the ditches, you know, dodging cans and stepping on rocks. And you put us through some pretty hard training. And I really do. Now that I think back, I wasn't too appreciative, but it really gave me more of a sense of, man, this guy's real. Because just your stories about when you were young and you were still on the island before you showed up over here. I love your story, sir. I really do, Sensei. But the intense, most intense. Oh, man, your belt tests were amazing. And each and every one of them, not just the black belt test.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. You've actually been a part of the museum from the very beginning. The very beginning. I mean, we moved from place to place. We set up. You know, I mean, it's amazing what you've helped me with through the years. I got to ask you, Doug. Not just being a black belt, not just being my student, but what made you have the motivation to help the history of sport karate do what you've done with helping with the museum all these years?
It was your enthusiasm that just, you know, you're just you being you, and I just kind of wanted to be around you. You were, and Tammy, she was such a, your wife, she's just such an amazing woman. She really did. She kind of inspired me also, you know, but it really was. It's all about the history of the karate, and I got to touch one of the first cuts. I mean, who gets that privilege? So I've seen things that most people haven't seen or touched. So, I mean, it was, you know, every day was an adventure. And like you said, we moved a couple of times, and some were out of necessity, especially when that place flooded out and we had to move to higher ground. And in that one place, the bar next door, it got so smoky in there from everybody smoking cigarettes. And it's just all the different temperamentals of doing all that. And just once again, it was just all the ability to just go back from these guys from, man, the beginning and just, you know, learn the history, like you say, the history of it.
It's cool. It really is cool. Now, I got to ask you about your music ability, because you've got a gift. You're one of the best drummers I've ever seen. And I've been around rock and roll my whole life. But how long have you been playing drums?
Well, I got to blame that on my grandmother, because mom used to work in Denver for NASA. And, they're the Space Aeronautics that was up in Denver. And then my grandmother, she just, I don't know, maybe I was just always flopping around, but she'd give me two wooden spoons and I'd be beating on pots and pans. So it really was stuck with me since I was a little kid, but I really didn't get into it until probably about eighth grade. And I was always on my neighbor's drum set, and mom would not buy me one because she always heard me. She's like, I'm not putting one of those in my house. No, we're not doing it. So, you know, you got to grow up a little bit, and then, you know, you got to get your own space. And I don't know. You know, I've done every genre. I mean, I love listening to heavy music and always rock and roll, but I've been in a blues band, as you know, for more than 7 years, and that was called The Good, The Blues, and The Ugly. And guess who was the ugly? But anyway,
the drummer.
No, that was fun. And I appreciate you even coming to our shows, and you even showed up at quite a few of our practices, you know, just hanging out.
Well, Doug, I got to ask you, speaking about crowds, Remember the year that I put you in the Tea Party for the Republican Tea Party, and there was over 10,000 people there for Outlaw Days, and I cut bananas and cucumbers all over your body. We had Garrett and Tracy and the girls. We performed in front of thousands of people. Now, I want to ask you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you publicly.
Okay. Yes, sir.
When I cut those vegetables on your body, how did you build up the trust to know that I wasn't going to cut through the vegetable to actually cut you? What went through your mind to be able to believe that you could do that? You were the great Ookie. You didn't move. You didn't flinch. Even after I would perform. But you're an actor. You're a gifted actor. You really are. So I want to ask you, what went through your mind when I did that?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, every time, butterflies. Don't get me wrong. I was a nervous little mouse waiting to get his tail chopped off. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the one time we were in Dallas, we went up to Dallas and it was the championship, and guess who took first place? And I'm still kind of upset that I never got a piece of that trophy. No, I love you. But what really won that is you would always line them up on me, and you would cut them, and trust me, I was nervous. And the one time in Dallas, you put it between my legs and stood it up. You stood the banana up, and then you cut it, you know, vertically, and that was even nerve-wracking.
Okay.
I didn't, because you had never done that before, and that, I was like, oh, no, don't do that. In my brain, I was just going, oh, please, 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 please. But, yeah, and then the crowd loved it. Oh, it's just too funny. I was like, you can't do that. And he was like, I can do anything I want.
Doug, I practiced that in my garage hundreds of times before I decided to do it on you. Just to let you know,
well,
I practiced many times.
Well,
and I missed
many
times.
I don't know why. I trusted you. Like I said, butterflies every time. But I just, you know, like I said, just it's that thespian in me, I guess. You know, the actor, and I just let it roll. I let it roll and just kind of let you do your thing, and you are the showman.
Cool. Well, listen, don't go nowhere. I'm going to do a couple segments, and I'm going to bring you back. We're going to play the Legends Name Game. This is where I'll say a name, and you get to talk about it. That's how I'll close out the show. So don't go nowhere, okay?
Yes, I will hang here with you. I'll be on hold. I'll be on mute. I'll be on mute.
Gary?
Okay, who was that trying to call? Is that Adam or AJ?
Your co-host. Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, AJ? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Well, happy Halloween. Boo.
Happy Halloween.
Well, listen, while I got you on there, I want to ask you.
Joe Goss.
I want to ask you a minute. How do you feel about, titles, when people say Haunty, Doctor, Shihan, Professor, Sensei, Grandmaster, Master. How do you feel about titles, AJ?
They have their place for people who deserve them. Problem is, a lot of people use titles, they're not deserving them. It's kind of out of control in martial art. There's a lot of qualified people in martial art that definitely deserve that. But like many fields, people abuse it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem in martial art.
Well, I've been calling a lot more names than the titles that have been given to me, but God bless titles, and I appreciate you, man. I was wondering where the heck you went tonight, what will happen to you, because you know you were one of the first people to call in. So you stay busy?
Oh, yeah. Fishing. We had a seminar in Detroit this past weekend. And then on the way back, I went to the trout club, did some fishing, caught a huge rainbow trout, you know. We had
wow.
a nice time. Had dinner there.
Now, you say Detroit. There's a friend of mine up there, and you're probably friends with me. Was Dave Pram up there? Is that him?
He was in the this event, but I actually saw him about a month ago. I did it. His son put a tournament on, and I helped
cool.
Judge at the tournament. He's a great
cool.
man, great martial artist.
Him and his son both are great people, good people. But anyway, hey, Dave, you take care, buddy. And I was
yes,
wondering where the heck you're at. We got a good show going on. Now, I want to bring on someone that's very special. Very special. Been a part of their group for almost 7 years. And I put them throughout America, California, New Jersey, South Carolina, and Texas. And they've got an incredible invention. I'm talking about, well, three people, my honorary black belt, Marie Shanahan, Rick Shanahan, a ninth-degree black belt, martial arts, and this man, a ninth-degree black belt underneath the Sport Karate Museum, were the co-inventors of this incredible invention called SETBR. He's a real doctor, a medical doctor, saves lives for a living, but he is also a kung fu expert, and he's taken his vision, along with these two other incredible people, Rick Shanahan and Marie Shanahan, and created a virtual reality format where you can beat up, or the hologram will beat you up. Well, anyway, I'll let him tell you about it. He's on the air with me. Dr. Lee, are you there, sir?
Good evening, sir. How are you today? Happy Halloween.
Reggie, how are you, sir? So good to hear you. Happy Halloween. Now, tell my listeners what I was talking about, SETBR and where we're at. Ladies and gentlemen,
absolutely.
Dr. Reggie Lee.
Absolutely. We see SETBR as a tool to help enhance your skills in self-defense, just as you would with a kicking bag, speed bag, or a Wing Chun dummy. Imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. To be totally immersed in a cutting-edge program moving 360 degrees against an attacker that has been designed to kick your butt and will attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks, so you can maintain, develop, and improve muscle memory, time, speed, and coordination under the goal of developing a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. This is a metaphor of placing your hand on a hot stove or I threw a ball at you and you would blink your eyes, develop that reflex, or imagine wanting to continue to practice in a program to improve your skills in evasion, moving angular, linear, and circular to help you to maximize the probability of neutralizing your attacker without hesitation to move reflexively. With SETBR, you will not be outside looking into the program. You'll be actually immersed into a simulation program, just like the military and the police has their simulation program. This is a simulation program for martial arts, for self-defense, whereby you'll be moving 360 degrees in a cutting-edge program. We've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen, whereby a hologram attacker will get into your personal space prior to the attack to create an adrenaline effect. During this adrenaline surge, the fight or flight mode is whereby one will normally have a momentary pause, losing about 35, 40, 50% of what they've been taught, and you are using reflex response or muscle memory would be your only best way to neutralize an attack, to neutralize without hesitation. Just as I mentioned, as a metaphor of placing your hand on a hot stove. With the use of an Oculus Quest or Oculus Rift headset, you'll be transported into a virtual reality program whereby you will meet a hologram attacker that will get into your personal space and attack you when you least expect it. The goal of SETBR is to have you be able to move angular, linear, or circular to be placing yourself in a position of neutralization of your opponent to improve timing, speed, and accuracy. This is a program whereby you can continue to practice what you've been taught in common forms in your schools, to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want, on an application against an attacker that is random and stunning. to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program will present you with a program of stretching, meditation, exercise, and will also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. Our website is www.setvrxl.com, so visit our website at www.setvrxl.com. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee of Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the Sports Karate Museum and virtual reality with SetVR, whereby we have introduced Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior. And we're so proud and happy to introduce Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior at his last Texas conference, whereby we have introduced Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior as the Samurai Ninja, whereby Professor Gary Lee will introduce the core history generals after defeating the hologram attacker at the gate of the virtual reality program. For that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some few words about your vision of the Sports Karate Museum and sports and SetVR with virtual reality with SetVR. Please, Professor Gary, some few words about your vision with SetVR.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lee. My vision is very simple. Respect, elders, knowledge. And with SetVR unleashed, you're allowing the Sport Karate Museum to do all three. And that really is important to me. You know, to have the History General portals and have the profiles of everybody there that supported Sport Karate in America for the decades that we've been here, that platform is so special. Now, we've started with a core group, and this core group is going to start because every periodically period that we feel is important, we'll add a new history general. We'll add someone that you'll know about them through their profile. But the core group that we've chosen is very special. Judge Roy Kerman. They're up right now. Their profile's up right now. Judge Roy Kerman, the man who invented the two-point kick rule for the world in point karate. George Minshew, Mr. Minshew, the man that created the Karate Olympics and first man to give away a gold ring in open competition. Chris Minshew, an NBO world champion for karate, an incredible lady, and Mike Billard, the owner of Century Martial Arts Supply, the largest martial arts supply company in the world, and the former owner of Black Belt Magazine. And then we'll add a new history general periodically through this program of SetVR, which is an enhanced program through making a hologram attack you and you have to defend yourself, but also a gaming platform, an enhanced platform to help you train. I'm so proud that the Sport Karate Museum is part of it. So, Dr. Lee, thank you. Thank you for letting the Sport Karate Museum be a part. And I continue to support the ideas that you put together as far as making it eye candy and adventurous and progressive and exciting. Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, also, we had a vision a few years ago to put together some incredible people, and we've created the five. Now, these five individuals that we bring on the air on this show, they get to talk about topics that are important. Some topics are interesting. Some topics we need to talk about. Some topics maybe people don't want to talk about, but we do, because these people are instrumental in the sport coaching community and still are. Now, one tonight is off, and she's a little under the weather, and we wish her the best. It's Mortis Radilat, and she'll be back next week. But I also have and a group of people that are amazing. And the first man I'm going to introduce, he's a real American hero. He won a Silver Star. He is a Marine. Oof. He is one of the advisors, personal advisors of the Sport Karate Museum, an advisory of the military group that we have to support the museum through awards and presentations. I would like to bring on my friend, my history general, Colonel Phil Torres. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am, and thank you for that introduction.
Well, thank you for just part of our mission. Now,
it is my dream.
Titles. You have a title, but you're retired, a colonel. But titles, Shihan, Shidoshi, Kanchi, Soki, Sensei, Sifu, Grandmaster, Master, Supreme Grandmaster. How do you feel about titles, Colonel, in the martial art community?
I definitely do have an opinion on titles. As AJ said earlier, some of those really earn those titles. Many have not. I think just like the Mac dojos that we talked about some time back, that they dilute our authenticity in the martial arts. Titles can also do that when it's not enough to be a grandmaster now. Now you got to have a supreme grandmaster above all masters. I remember the time when there was just one grandmaster in a style, and he was the only 10th degree black belt in the style. And whoever was the ninth dan was the ninth dan until that person took over the style when the grandmaster passed away. Now we may have 10 or 20 or 50 grandmasters in a room. Times have changed, and many of those do deserve those titles. But those titles sometimes dilute our authenticity to the public that does not know martial arts.
Right. Well, that's a good point, sir. It really is. And I believe, golly bomb, I remember when Mr., Mrs., Sensei, which was a teacher, of course, it was used in a way that out of respect, it wasn't so much the title that went behind the person's name. You said it out of respect. Sensei, Mrs., Mr.
I agree. And there were only two titles that I remember all back in the 60s, and that was sensei or teacher.
Yes. Yes. Well, that was karate. The kung fu had sifu, or I think it's called, it's spelled S-I-F-U, but they want to say the, kind of like say the X, sifu.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
sifu,
yeah.
And but, sifu for the Chinese arts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, listen, Colonel, happy Halloween. Boo! I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
How are you, Colonel?
Doing well, my brother.
Good to hear your voice, sir.
Thank you. Likewise.
Always.
Miss you.
Always. Well, listen, God bless you guys. Let me carry on. Did Karen get on by chance yet? Karen Swatcher?
I'm here.
Hey! I missed you.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. I was sitting here with the phone in my hand watching TV.
It's okay.
Got past me. I'm on this call.
Well, honey,
got me
let me introduce you, and then I'm going to bring you on. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got two ladies in this group. As I said earlier, Lourdes is a little under the weather. She'll be back next week. But the other lady has been with the Sport Karate Museum from the beginning. She is an 8th degree black belt underneath the history general's of the Sport Car Museum and also a avid Conte instructor in a style called Sean Rue. But she now is an avid practitioner and teacher Chinese martial arts. She trained in Tai Chi and Qigong. But anyway, she's an amazing lady. And she has an opinion. She's part of the five. Now in Hawaii, if we say uncle or auntie, they're considered ohana, which means family. And she is definitely Auntie Karen Factor. Auntie, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, it's so good to hear you. Now, titles, that's what we're talking about tonight. Sifu, Hachi, Sensei, Soki, Golly Bob, Master, Grandmaster.
Oh, jeez, I know. Professor was one of those titles too, because I never had heard of that, but in my system, that is one of the ranks. Master, Grandmaster, there's all kinds, but the one that I didn't get to quickly was the one that was Shidoshi. That was from Bloodsport. When I saw that, I called up Grandmaster Irvin, and I said, "What is a Shidoshi?" He said, "I don't know." Okay. And I told him about it. So then he said, "Well, take me to see the movie." So I did. I took him to see it. And he walked out. He goes, "I never heard that term in my life." So I kind of figured it was relatively new. If he didn't know it, then it certainly wasn't traditional, you know. And there's more to the story where that came from. But, you know, there are people that are using that rank now. And that's fine. It's okay. If that's what they need
listen, Karen, there's people using the term bug buddy too. You know, I mean, when you make up Shidoshi is a made up name in a movie, and if people are calling themselves that now, what they're doing is wrong, really. It's like what Colonel said. People have misused titles. You know, it's like when I introduced person as Dr. Rizzo Lee, like that he's a real doctor. He's not just putting DR in front of his name because he's trying to impress somebody. I remember there were some people back in the day, and they don't do it anymore. They used to put PhD behind their name or Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, and they're not doctors. They didn't go to college for 8 years to become a PhD or whatever.
Oh, I know. I have one of those titles.
Honorary doctorate. I've got like four of them. But I don't put doctor in front of my name. And
no,
the only reason
I'm
professor is because when I went to Hawaii, I was tested, and Al DeCascos and Joseph and Big Love. You remember Big Love? They were part of it. They gave me that title, and it really bothered me, Karen. And I remember stopping in Oakland, and it was Sonny Chiba, you know, the great actor, and Sid Campbell, and Patrick McCarthy, the man that wrote the Bushy Bob from Okinawa. Anyway, I was sitting there, and I said, "Look, Sid, sir, I can't go back to Texas with professor in front of my name." And it was on the certificate and everything, and Sid looked at me and said, "Gary, if I ask you any questions towards sport karate in America, if you didn't know the answer, do you know people that could tell you the answer?" And I said, "Of course I do." He said, "Gary, don't be ashamed, because professors use in Europe, in Mexico, and other styles as a signal of sensei. So don't be ashamed of that word." So I went back to
If your teachers give it to you, you know, they gift you with that name, that's not the same. And that's absolutely fine. in my system, that's one of the highest ranks there is. You know, it goes from student, disciple, professor, and master. So,
yes.
And there is only one grandmaster. That's it. He's been the one who formed the system in the Ming Dynasty. So, like Professor Torres was saying, no.
Well, I know the Korean styles, and AJ, maybe you can back me up, that most times in the Korean styles, you didn't become a 10th grade until you died and put it in your coffin. AJ,
right. You know,
are you there?
When they're closing your coffin, it's just about closed. They throw it out, they throw a 10th degree in there like a roofing shingle.
Wow.
And then they say, bye-bye.
That's amazing.
That's funny.
That's how it is
it's
in judo,
too. It's not
funny
that anybody died, but that's funny that how they celebrate that. But listen, guys, thank you. Thank you, Karen. And so bless
thank
you.
Thank you.
Bless you. How's North Carolina? How's North Carolina?
Yep.
Just remember, Professor, that Funakoshi never got above 5th degree.
Right. And he's the one that created Gachido. Cool. Well, later on, Kimmy with the 5. Now, these people are from different parts around the country. Now, I'm going to bounce. Around a little bit. Okay? We went to Ohio with AJ. We got to Colonel Torres in Texas. Borders is off. Went to North Carolina. Now we'll bring someone who is in Arkansas. He is the president of the United States Martial Arts Bible Hall of Fame. Now, anything with the United States in front of it, that's authentic and powerful. And this man is responsible for putting that together every year. And also, we're very honored that he's going to be kind of heading up our youth conference this year that we're going to do October 4th in Houston. He's going to be like the man of the hour. And I'm going to bring him on right now. My friend, my associate, friend I feel that is the Bible leader. In fact, that's what he does. He does a podcast that talks about being the Bible leader. I'm going to bring on Dr. John Terry. John, are you there, sir?
I am here, my friend. Good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, John. Now, that introduction is true. You are someone that teaches people that aren't just listening, but black belts. Black belts listen to you. Now, I want to ask you titles. How do you feel about the way these different titles are presented throughout the community, like Shihan, Sensei, Sifu, Master, Grandmaster, Professor, whatever? So tell people how you feel about it, sir.
You know, Professor Lee, when you posed that question tonight, my thoughts first went to a book by Mark Sanborn. Mark Sanborn wrote a book several years ago that's entitled, it says, "You Don't Need a Title to Be a Leader." But what we have today are far too many people that think they're a leader simply because they have a title. And it harms not just the martial arts industry, but any other industry where titles exist today. And I believe that people, as our other guests have shared tonight, the other members of the 5 have shared tonight, those individuals that have earned the right to be called a sensei or a shihan or a professor or a grandmaster as a result of training and certification from a legitimate source deserve that honor. But we have far too many people today that are making up styles, making up systems, self-promoting themselves simply out of ego or a desire to be known for something they're really not. As our other guests have already shared tonight, I believe actually does a disservice to the martial arts community. For me, you know, if I were to go look at all the titles that I've had the privilege of being given either through rank or training or honorary, you know, it's a laundry list. But I don't go by all of those titles. I mean, I have a doctorate in theology that, you know, I've worked hard to have the opportunity to earn that. But, you know, I don't go out holding myself out as Dr. John Terry all the time. I'm one of the things I learned from John Maxwell years and years ago is people know you for you. So when people talk to me, I'm John. If they want to call me Dr. John or Professor Terry, that's fine. But I'm John. That's what I'm known by. That's the name my parents gave me, and that's the name I'm proud of. So I'm proud of my accomplishments, but my accomplishments don't define me. The person I am defines me, and that should be for all of us. And if somebody has to go out and when they're introduced, someone has to correct you and say, no, 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 I'm not Chinsei, I'm Shihan, or I'm not Shihan, I'm Kyoshi, or I've got to have those corrections. Oftentimes that's an ego issue, and I do have a problem with that, but honor should be given where honor is due. But we shouldn't take an honorable title and discredit it or disdain it by simply, you know, allowing someone to have that title with something they made up. That's my opinion for what it's worth tonight, sir.
Well, your opinion is worth a lot. Thank you so much. It means so much. And, you know, I want to ask you, how do you feel about the Sport Karate Museum singling you out and honoring you next year? How do you feel about that?
You know, as I shared with you when you told me earlier, I could think of a lot of other individuals that have done more and accomplished more that are worthy of being recognized, but I'm honored at the opportunity to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to serve the organization. I appreciate what the Sport Karate Museum does and what it stands for, and to have an opportunity for you guys to say thank you for the work we've done for the last 10 years with the Hall of Fame, it's appreciated, sir. Thank you.
So we thank you. So listen, you take care, and I'll see you next week, Dr. Terry.
Very good, sir.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. You
God
bet.
Bless
Hello,
you,
Gary. Now, hello, Gary. It's Adam James here.
Hey, I was waiting on you, Adam. I want to ask your opinion. How do you feel about
yes,
the
sir.
Word titles in front of someone's name, like Shihan or Sifu or
yeah.
Hanti or Master or Grandmaster
yes.
or whatever. How do you feel about that? Let me introduce you first so you can give me your opinion. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes, sir.
Part of the five is I handpick people who are professionals in what they do. And this man has been a part of my vision for many, many, many years. We actually worked together with the great Bob Wall at World Black Belt. And we also got the experience together a great event in New Jersey where he honored Michael Lee Pasquale, Jr., rest in peace, and his father, and many people
yes.
in that area of the East Coast. He also
yes.
is an actor. He is an actor that just recently is still starring in the new Doc Savage. We'll talk about that. Now, also, he's a kung fu specialist, trained in martial arts, but particularly in kung fu. And I'll bring one right now. He's part of the five, my friend, Shifu Adam James. Adam, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you so much, Gary. What a pleasure. What an honor to be on the show again.
Well, tell me how you feel about titles. You know, we just
well, first of all,
titles have great speakers. How do you feel about it?
Yes. Well, you know, first of all, I want to acknowledge the other people on the show tonight. Their comments were spot on. I really enjoyed hearing those comments. And, you know, titles can be a very positive thing. Handled correctly, they can be very motivating. They can really help define our direction, our purpose, and the next steps for us, as well as those that have come before us. But, yes, they can also lead to some negative, self-perceptions. And I really appreciate what John had to say because that reminded me a lot of what Leo Fong, Bob Wall, Gene LaBelle, all these guys, they didn't go around saying, I'm a grandmaster. All those guys were simply, you know, Bob and Leo and Gene. They were very comfortable in their own skin, so they didn't feel like they needed to be addressed by those titles. In fact, Leo once joked with me that whenever someone came up to him and started calling him grandmaster, he said, I knew they wanted something. Yes, and,
well,
and it was interesting because in Leo's case, he had a background in theology just like Dr. Terry, and Leo was a lifetime Methodist minister as well as had a master's degree in social work. And he said to me once about how a lot of people are uncomfortable without their title, that they're literally feeling as if they're not worthy of being themselves, and that's where he would express concern. And likewise, so I would encourage those to seek titles for the positive effects, but don't grasp onto them and move forward with your life and career.
Well, thank you, Adam. Thank you for your opinion. Thank you for being my
absolutely
California connection. Huh? You're such a great guy.
Yes, sir.
So listen, buddy,
well, thank you.
Tell me about Doc Savage. Where we're at now with Doc Savage, your series.
Yes, well, I'm very excited to tell you and the listeners. Right now I'm in American Film Market, which is held in Santa Monica every year here in the greater Hollywood Los Angeles area. American Film Market, or AFM, is the country's largest independent film event. It's probably the second biggest in the world behind the Cannes Film Festival. And this is just a great opportunity to network, meet people, and, of course, promote and sell our projects. So I'm here with our executive producer, Chris Mackey, of Valleywood Productions, and also my son, Jason James, and we've been promoting the project. Met up with some other great film people, but also some great martial artists. It's amazing how many martial arts people are in the film industry and what a positive effect martial arts brings to this industry. So I want to applaud everybody out there who's doing it. And for those of you out there who are thinking about getting into film, you've got a background in martial arts, I encourage you to do it. This is a great way for you to express your martial arts skills and continue to grow as a person. So all the best to everyone out there for Halloween and always.
Well, thank you for being on the show tonight and being part of the five. God bless you, Adam James, and I'll talk to you next week.
And you
week,
as well,
buddy.
Gary.
You
right
bet.
On. Everybody
Ladies
out there,
gentlemen,
God bless.
I enjoy the five so much. And again, I wish my dear friend Lourdes Radelat the best. I miss her, and I'll see her next week. Now, I'll bring back my special guest. Doug, are you there?
Sensei, I enjoyed the show. Appreciate it for having me. I really feel honored myself.
Well, I'll be with you with a couple of names, and we're going to close this show out. You ready for the first name?
Yes, sir, I am.
You got 1 minute. Gary Lee.
I'm sorry. What was your question, sir?
Garrett Lee.
Oh, your son. Yes, sir. What do I think of him?
Yeah,
he's
minute. Also my, now you got 30 seconds. Go.
But boy, he's technically also. I would have to consider him my sensei too. I mean, he's amazing, sir. Unbelievable. His conditioning. His attitude is everything about him he's family. I mean, I've been with you for so long. It's like I said, when I first met you, he wasn't even crawling. He was just barely scooching. So, and his devotion towards the arts and towards you and just he's just amazing. I mean, really, truly, I do love your son. He's an amazing gentleman.
You remember Jim Harrison?
Yes.
You got 1 minute.
Oh, boy. Scary. I don't know how many words to describe him. Honorable? Gosh, on the spot. I love that. It's not that we hung out too much, but I just that was 20 years ago, so walking on those bricks and those stones, he was that as much of a kind of a leader too in himself, a great leader in himself.
Jamie Lee.
Oh, sure, she's just amazing. Your wife is she's the glue. She's the glue. I would, very, very strong, strong, strong woman, knows what she wants. She's very, I don't know. She's family too. I love her, man. She's a badass. I've seen some scary things out of her too. Talented.
Well, you know what, Doug? Thank you for being on the show tonight. I appreciate the compliment. And you know what? You can always remember, go to AMAA Network on Google, and you can listen to the show. It'll be up immediately, in fact. If anybody, you know, you want to pass on to your daughter or your friend, they go to AMAA Radio on Google, and it'll be the first show up. If anybody wants to check out the museum, go to www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com. And if you want to talk personally to the museum, you go to 713-483-0476. And there's people there that can answer your questions, and we welcome all inquiries. So, Doug, thank you for being on the show. Thank the five. Thank my producer, Hunchie Bowen. Thank SetVR.app, Bottle Magazine, Century, and the crew. God bless everybody. Hope everybody's having a safe Halloween and check your candy. Aloha and much mahalo. We need that from the heart. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Boo.
Boo.